Please drop all your questions in the QA chat box in case we cannot answer all of them. By the end of the session, we're going to consolidate all the questions and we will share a document with all the questions to the participants. Another important thing to mention is that we have an interpreting function available for those of you who want to listen to this webinar in Spanish. You click on the three buttons on the bottom of your screen. You can pick the English channel if you wish to have the session in English. Users need to mute the original audio so that you only receive the English translation. For English-speaking participants, you have another tab under the three dots over the right side of the screen. You can select English session, and you have to select muting original audio to make sure that you can listen the interpretation. Thank you, everybody, for joining the session today, and we're going to get started with the presentation. To begin, we're going to quickly go over the agenda. First, we're going to have the welcome and introduction to UK Pact, Unearth's regional Amazon fund strategy, followed by the intervention areas in Bolivia and the areas of intervention for Peru. We're going to then have go a quick overview of the requirements and the application process, and then we're going to have our Q&A session. And lastly, we will close with a quick summary and next steps. This stage, we want to welcome Kat Clay, lead of the regional Amazon Fund at FCDO, for some quick introductions. Catherine, welcome to the session. Thank you, Alejandra. Good morning, mine, and welcome to the session for the Green Finance Proposals. My name is Catherine Clay. I work for the British Embassy, and I manage the Amazon Regional Fund from London. What is UK Pact? UK Pact is a mitigation and technical assistance project that generates capacities, and its objective is to accelerate the greenhouse emission reduction and support equitable and fair transitions and contribute to the poverty reduction and resilient economic development. Some of the conditions of the project are that everything that we execute is country-led, flexible, and that projects don't last, that projects last beyond implementation period, and we recognize the importance of JETC criteria, including gender equality, disability, and social inclusion. We also seek to ensure that all of our projects are cost-efficient, effective, and non-duplicative. We rely on an alliance between local embassies, the British Service, and the implementing partners. So what's our mission and vision? UK Pact exists under the a portfolio of international climate finance and is part of the British government's commitments to support climate transitions. The program helps countries to implement their greenhouse reduction emissions alongside their nationally determined contributions at a national level. In this way, UK Pact can respond to the demands of local governments through an scoping exercise with local British embassies in each country and local governments. What do we seek to achieve? We want to advance projects that reduce greenhouse emissions and address the barriers and gaps to entry for clean growth. We also seek to work with our partner governments and identify opportunities for increased climate ambitions in these countries. Here you can see our theory of change for the UK Pact project, and this is what drives our project. As we mentioned, the objective of the project is to accelerate greenhouse gas emission reduction and support just, equitable climate transition that contributes to poverty alleviation and resilient economic development. The result that we seek to achieve is to implement models, either policies, civil society, associations, technical tools, or technologies that guarantee accelerated climate transitions. Here we can see the outputs and the activities that UK Pact entails. And where does UK Pact operate? UK Pact operates in 10 country funds and with two regional funds that we anticipate to expand to three new countries in 2025. You can also see the sectors that we operate in. Regarding the Amazon Regional Fund, we have a portfolio of the Afolu sector projects, and we are also starting two new portfolios, one with green finance and one in clean energy. So, what does UK Pact do in the Amazon region? As we mentioned, we have a 12-country portfolio in the agriculture, forest, and other land use portfolio, the Afolu portfolio. And the implementation of this portfolio has been started. We are providing two examples. The first one is in Bolivia, the second one is in Peru. First one relates to improving climate governance and developing value chains with positive carbon balances in indigenous territories in Charagua. Our implementing partner is Fundación Natura, and we are working with the local Santa Cruz and the Capitanía of Charagua. In Peru, we have a different project that works with the Environment Ministry. The implementing partner is IAP, and it entails community-led monitoring of emission reduction to support nationally determined contributions at a national level for. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you, Catherine, for your intervention, following up with some important information on this call for proposals. The portfolio for this for call for proposals seeks to address clean energy activities to accelerate climate transition through the execution of projects focused in climate change mitigation, but that also demonstrate additional benefits in terms of resilience and climate adaptability. We also expect projects to have a strong relationship with affected communities affected by climate change. We are very interested in seeing proposals. Proposals will be selected through an open call for proposals and a competitive process carried out in two stages that we will explain later in the presentation so that we will go into the details of what needs to be submitted during each stage. We expect projects to start between September and October of this year and end latest in March 2027. We are going to offer budgets of £500,000 per fiscal year to selected applicants for up to 18 months. We expect partners to be flexible and adapt to deliver on additional demands that may emerge throughout the project, again, up to 18 months. And for-profit organizations can submit proposals, but every single project needs to be executed in a non-for-profit fashion. Going deeper into the intervention areas for this call for proposals, we are going to quickly describe these characteristics of the interventions we are looking for. We are looking for technical assistance and capacity development to accelerate green finance in Bolivia and Peru. The objectives that we envision at this stage are national climate objectives through the support and the design of green projects. These can include green energy, sustainable agriculture, nature-based solutions, and business models that are compatible with biodiversity. This being said, regarding Bolivia interventions, specifically what we are looking is to contribute to the development of green finance in Bolivia. The specific details will be later. Regarding Peru, what we are seeking is to promote connections and value chains in bioeconomy in the Peruvian Amazon. Now we're going to go over our identified counterparts for each of these countries and the types of organizations that are eligible and some additional requirements. Regarding counterparts that we have pre-identified, we include national governments, regional governments, and public entities. We also include public financial institutions and private financial institutions, and academia, including applied research institutions and others. The type of organizations that are eligible to participate are organizations that are for-profit and not-for-profit, academic institutions, industrial or professional associations, non-governmental organizations, additional academic organizations or research centers, and community organizations that can include women associations, indigenous groups, or organizations of persons with disabilities as part of consortiums. Organizations that cannot participate are departments or government agencies. So these organizations cannot request of UK PAC funding. Now we're going to give the word to Jose Manuel Mate to share the Bolivia area interventions. Jose Manuel is a climate and environment program officer and will share the details of this intervention. Jose, please go ahead. Thank you, Alejandra. Good morning to you, everybody. And if we can switch to the next slide, please. In Bolivia, the target intervention areas will contemplate the development of sustainable finances and generating the necessary conditions to promote financial flows towards developing a low carbon economy aligned with Bolivia's nationally determined contributions. Let's remember that Bolivia, just like like a lot of other Latin American countries, is experiencing an updating process of their nationally determined contributions. And this process needs to reflect the highest possible climate ambition and a more ample and broad base of sectors that are participating in this climate goals and climate commitments. We would like for this intervention to contribute to the development of a green finance system that is strong and integrated, and that we can achieve this, the creation or the development of capacities, both in the public and the private sector. We will also like to see projects that define and implement a financial framework at the national level that promotes or facilitates a just transition towards a low carbon economy. And of course, hopefully, that we can generate or promote increased resource flows both nationally and from abroad that can finance a growing portfolio of local portfolios with positive environmental impacts. And that these projects, hopefully, are aligned with reduction or neutrality of greenhouse gas emissions. Some of the proposed activities under this project, number one, is to support the development of sustainable finance in Bolivia by creating the conditions to increase capital flow towards a successful transition to a low carbon economy aligned with nationally determined contributions. We believe that it is necessary to have updated information and reliable information on the status of existing financing mechanisms. And we also would should include a quantification or a clear measurement of the existing gaps of the existing gaps that are preventing organizations to achieve better or to achieve a successful completion of the NDAs. Also, it is important to identify the economic sectors that are responsible for emissions in Bolivia. Number two, we envision to include local private sector actors related to the sector and build relationships with financial sector associations and to promote, identify, and strengthen financial mechanisms that can enhance sustainable finance. The objective is to increase the capacities and the effectivity of investments, again, including reductions in greenhouse emissions. Number three, supporting the development of sustainable projects, high quality sustainable projects. And number four, develop the development of key skills in terms of knowledge sharing and experience sharing between organizations in the private sector and the public sector. Some of these organizations could include organizations that are currently in the stock market, and the objective is to share the knowledge of these private sector institutions. Including public pension funds and other type of actors, including regulated industries or financial actors, again, with the objective of strengthening sustainability strategies and facilitating their adoption of international climate standards that, again, end up contributing to Bolivia's nationally determined contributions. We are also envisioning supporting the Ministry of Economy and Public Finances and the Roundtable for Sustainable Finance in Bolivia in the development of a national sustainable finance strategy that can lead to an adequate taxonomy. And number six, to develop and implement effective governance mechanism for sustainable finance in Bolivia. And allowing it to and allowing this sustainable finance roundtable to become a more central actor in coordinating advances in the emission reduction field in Bolivia. Going over the main counterparts that we have pre-identified or suggest include the Ministry of Economy and Public Finance, supervising authorities like the ISFI or the APS. We also identified the Social Security Gestora and, of course, Bolivia's Central Bank, which has important emissions in the emission reduction field. Furthermore, some of the private sector counterparts that we have identified also include the Bolivian Stock Exchange and some of the existing financial associations. Including banks and investment funds, and the Sustainable Finance Roundtable, and potentially some of individual associations that play central to the economy. Thank you, Jose, for going over in detail the interventions and the potential contributions for this intervention. Now we are switching to Omshanti Romero, the bioeconomy lead in the British Embassy in Lima, who is going to go into detail in the Peru areas of intervention. Thank you, Leandra. Good morning to everybody. So for Peru, our objective under this project is to promote the connection to scale up bioeconomy value chains in the Peruvian Amazon. To give you some context, the British Embassy in Peru, with the MINAM, created a study where around three value chains were prioritized, three Amazon value chains were prioritized. This study identified a total of 21 value chains, and all of these value chains keep the forest standing. They do not promote deforestation. We are not working with coffee and cocoa. Out of the 21 value chains that we identified, we are prioritizing aguaje, camucano, and castaña. Those are the ones that are being prioritized at the moment. So just to emphasize, the objective of this call for proposals is to scale up, is to scale up existing value chains. What do we mean by scaling up? It's how can we magnify or broaden the extraction, or how can we deliver mechanisms that work in another region into the Amazon region, or in other Amazon regions into another Amazon region? How can we improve technology to increase production efficiency? And how can this have a greater impact in society and in the forest? Meaning, how are we creating sustainable economies that are keeping the forest standing? That's what we mean by scaling up value chains. Among the activities that we are contemplating, we include the analysis of market analysis, identifying demand trends and opportunities for these nature-based products. We also envision strategic alliances. It's fundamental for us that submissions identify anchor businesses. We are currently targeting quick wins, so looking for short-term results, meaning that within the alliance framework, you identify models that have worked in the past, and we are not starting from zero. This can, in theory, provide us short-term results. The next point is the business identification. We can identify several businesses, several business models, but the goal is to prioritize and identify the business models that are located in the Amazon that have this concept of working with local communities and generate economies to protecting the forest and that have success factors that can be scalable. Within this selection process of different business, well, we need to develop plans, develop a solid program to support this initiatives, including capacity building in the implement in the areas that the IP identifies as lacking or needed, and which is directly related to the last point, and is how can we work with these three value chains or these three businesses so that they can achieve their market objectives. No, we understand that we cannot simply support one value chain with with disregarding government requirements, including health requirements or certification requirements. So this item relates to that, to promoting this adherence regulation. The next item is promoting collaboration between private sector and academia, identifying and prioritizing as an opportunity for innovative products, and how can we involve researchers and how these researchers can provide an added value to the products that we are promoting. The last item is to strengthen monitoring and evaluation system that allows us to create indicators on who is participating, identifying, disaggregating them by age, gender, and other relevant criteria that can be relevant for this month. Lastly, some of the counterparts that we have identified include, as you can see in the slides, we have identified the Ministry of Economy and Finance. They have the executive roundtable platforms. Some of these that we have supported from the British Embassy with other key sectors is the executive roundtable for the development of the Peruvian Amazon. It would be interesting to see how these spaces can be leveraged or how other spaces can be identified to promote collaboration and to foster strategic alliances. We don't want to act alone, but to foster synergy with other organizations. In this sense, another key actor is the Ministry of the Environment, the MINAM, whose objective is to promote biobusiness and has been a strategic ally in the past. The MIDAGRI, the Ministry for Agriculture and Development, is another key partner. And regarding the Ministry of Production, the ITP, the Instituto Tecnológico de la Producción, has this body within the ministry, and they can facilitate the processes for us to enter the Amazon and improve these productive processes. PROMPERÚ, regarding the Ministry for Commerce and Tourism, their role is to, if these value chains are developed, they have a key role in supporting the exports and the distribution of these projects in, outside the country. The National Council of Science and Technology supports the role in including innovation and technology in these processes. And finally, ADIT and the Lima Chamber of Commerce, they represent private sector actors that can provide technical and business advising for the selected business, and they also have a very strong network that can be leveraged for this project. Thank you, Amshanti. Thank you for sharing these overview of the activities and the potential stakeholders. We are now going over the application process and the requirements. We initially mentioned there is an open call for proposals that occurs or works in two stages. The first process relates to phase one. This entails phase one relates to the delivery of expressions of interest. Lead partners, lead organizations that can provide technical assistance to the prioritized sectors. Give us one second. We are having some audio issues. Right. We have resolved the audio issue. Repeating what we said before, we're looking that the organizations that we pick are leaders and have knowledge in and abilities to execute technical assistance projects in the aforementioned sectors. Their implementation experience in technical assistance needs to be verifiable in the countries, in the target countries, meaning Peru and Bolivia. This experience needs to be reflected through a valid reference that has been executed, a valid reference of a project has been executed in the last 5 years. And these reference projects need to have at least 1 year of implementation and a budget that is greater than £300,000 British pounds. Any documentation that supports, provides evidence of this implementation can be used as part of this valid reference. Expressions of interest were submitted through our webpage, and we will provide your link to you where you can submit your application. Again, as mentioned earlier, government institutions cannot be included in consortiums and are not eligible for UK PAC funding. Again, submissions need to be delivered through our opportunity portal, which can be accessed through UK PAC's webpage. After receiving the expression of interest, our team internally reviews them in collaboration with the British Embassy. We do a selection of eligible or pre-selected actors, and then we move towards stage two, and that's where we move towards the actual delivery of full proposals. Here, what we're looking for is that submissions align with UK PAC's priorities, that we can see clear routes to include the identified counterparts. We also look to see the commitment of counterparts, including integration of UK PAC products. We also want to see or encourage the creation of consortiums with national organizations. Consortiums need to have at least one member who is based or who is a local organization, meaning that it's based in the country. Then for-profit organizations can be part of the consortium and can also apply as lead organizations. Projects or well, proposals are expected to last at least 18 months or up to 18 months. And a 500,000 budget is sufficient for each fiscal year, with a total budget of £1 million for the complete 18 months of the project. Again, we encourage applications and proposals to incorporate JETC criteria, meaning gender equality, disability, and social inclusion. We expect to see JETC in mainstream throughout the proposal, and not just as an isolated component. You are going to see this consistently throughout the presentation, and because it's a key relevant factor for the UK Pact. Some additional factors regarding requirements and conditions. Selected projects will be selected through an open call for proposals, a competitive process that will be divided into stages, as we have described before. Each project should last between 12 and 18 months. The budget, the max budget per fiscal year, which consists from April to March, is of £500,000. The maximum budget for the total execution of the project is £1 million. We also want to prioritize proposals that can demonstrate impact during this fiscal year. All the projects need to be executed without a profit. Eligible costs include consulting fees or staffing costs needed to execute the project, reasonable travel and travel cost related to the project, and other direct expenses related to the project, such as workshops, seminars, delivering reports, translation, editing, and other costs directly attributable to the project. Some costs that are not eligible are tangible assets, such as vehicles, machinery, IT equipment, solar panels. Those are all assets and are not eligible expenses under UK PAC funding. So, how can you apply to these intervention areas? Proposals need to address to at least one of the intervention areas. An organization can apply to several intervention areas, but you cannot apply multiple times to a single intervention area. A single project can target multiple intervention areas, and each proposal will be evaluated independently. As we have mentioned already, all of the proposals need to demonstrate how impact is going to be achieved the first year of the project, even if a project is presented that lasts more than 12 years, sorry, 12 months. We expect proposals to have a very clear description of how you anticipate to see impact in the first year of implementation. Specifically for this proposal, proposals, submissions that present a clear plan and demonstrate measurable progress during this fiscal year, those proposals will be prioritized and will be ranked high. What we expect of these proposals is that they respond to the needs and demands of each of the outlined interventions in each of the countries, that they have a transformational directive that is also flexible and allocates for learning experiences, and that the projects can outlive the intervention period. In terms of the specific proposal timeline and the submission workflow, we are summarizing steps as follows. The call for proposals is open and is available since the 12th of June. Expressions of interest can be submitted until July 3rd, submitted through the web page. As we submit the EOIs, or the expression of interest, the shortlisted candidates will be notified, and these shortlisted candidates need to submit full complete proposals by July 30, 2025. That's the deadline for full proposals. The expected project start date is between September and October of 2025. Regarding some of the adjustments that can happen, if the proposal is won by an organization, there will be a co-creation phase where the selected proposal will be tweaked and adjusted in collaboration with the UK PAC team to ensure alignment with the project objectives and goals. Specifically discussing the second stage, what we are looking for during our selection of the full proposals, 70% of the weight is allocated in terms of the technical criteria in the proposal, including impact description, the work plan, JETC inclusion plan, the experience and capacities. These factors all have the weight 70% of the assessment. 20% of the assessment is project management and risk management, and the remaining 10% corresponds to financial considerations, including budgeting and financial management of the proposal. Please remember that you need to include the JETC plan as an integral part of your proposal, and you please be mindful to include impact and expected results at this stage. During this second stage of the evaluation of the proposal, criteria will be divided between the project design and the project plan, the project management, and the budget. There's going to be a strong emphasis in proposals that address the terms of reference, and that we expect proposals to be fully aligned with the terms of reference and to be technically relevant to these objectives. We will also expect proposals and assess proposals in the level that they are aligned with the theory of change, with UK PAC's theory of change. So again, we expect proposals to be aligned with the TOC. We also have proposals and the measure that JETC considerations have been mainstreamed throughout the project, sorry, throughout the proposal. Another factor that's relevant are plans for the project management, including confidence in the evidence of the results and the delivery of progress according to the agreed upon work plan. The risk, the key associated risk identified with the respective mitigation measures. And lastly, the plan to guarantee the efficient use of resources, in other words, the value of the proposal. Every single UK PAC project needs to deliver evidence of their results and outputs that are achieved. Project management and result measurement and JETC considerations are fundamental for UK PAC and are expected to be seen in proposals. Some key definitions for you to be mindful of are inputs and activities. These are elements that are used to be implemented in the project. For example, capacity building sessions, research, technical assistance, participation of key stakeholders. These are all inputs and activities. Outputs are concrete results that come from these inputs. Intermediate outcomes are outputs generated with support to the project and are beginning to be adopted by relevant stakeholders. In terms of the outcomes, these are the results that are actual actions or tangible actions that result from these intermediate outcomes. And lastly, the JETS contributions are the aspirations in terms of UK PAC activities and how these plans reflect gender discapacity and social inclusion, and the how the results need to, again, a very important item is prevent to cause no harm. In terms of the documentation that needs to be submitted, you will find several templates available in the UK PAC webpage, including the UK PAC proposal template, the UK PAC budget and work plan template, the project theory change, the project risk and issue register, and the concept note case study template. All of these templates are key documents that need to be submitted at the full proposal stage, and these are available in the UK PAC website. All of the information, again, is available in our website and will be shared with pre-selected applicants during phase two. All documentation needs to be submitted in English. We expect that every single submission submits their required documentation, again, in English. And relevant documentation needs to be sent to the email that you see in your screen. Some other relevant documents for your application. This include the application for the EOI, the terms of reference, and the applicant manual, and also the declaration of JETC ambition. All of these documents, again, are available in the UK PAC website. Regarding the planning and execution of the project, selected projects need to deliver technical and fi to deliver technical, financial, and risk reports every quarter. UK PAC projects demand that you present evidence of every single result that is achieved. We will always be in communication once the projects are selected, and UK PAC will also deliver work. We'll execute a yearly review process to ensure quality and that projects are aligned with goals. And lastly, proposals need to account for sufficient funds in their budgets to deliver with the proposed expectations. Now we are moving on to the Q&A period. Thank you all so much for your participation in the chat. And the team now will go over a few questions that we can address live. Questions that we don't cover right now and that are not covered in the chat will be addressed in, will be consolidated in the document, which will be circulated with interested parties by next week. You can submit additional questions to us until tomorrow. So if you have any additional questions that have not been submitted yet, you can share them with us via our email that was shared previously. Now we're going forward with a couple of questions that the team has selected. We will proceed to go over these. The first question is, the Bolivia project is focused in Charagua, which does not belong to the Amazon biome. Can proposals be submitted that are not present in the Amazon biome? Yes. We mentioned the Charagua intervention. This was mentioned as an example of an intervention under the Afolu portfolio. This is an ongoing intervention that has been implemented for some time now. But our focus for this specific proposal, call for proposal, is for this green finance proposal, should be the Amazon. regarding the question, if proposals submitted are not based in the Amazon biome, the organizations can be based outside the Amazon biome. They can be based in La Paz, etc. So, yes, proposals. In summary, proposals can be submitted even if they're not exclusively focused in the Amazon biome. The next question is, can you explain what you mean by the £500,000 per fiscal year? Yes. So what we mean by 500,000, £100,000 per fiscal year, fiscal years go from April to March. So there's going to be £500,000 available for the first 12 months, and then £500,000 available for the remaining period. The total period is 18 months. That's the maximum timeline. The maximum value is £1 million. These £1 million will be disbursed per fiscal year. And the cap for disbursement for each fiscal year is £500,000. How are multi-country initiatives aligned? Can proposals that have a broader scope in both countries eligible? So the answer for this question is that submissions can cover both interventions. That is valid. And we will consider proposals that attempt to cover both countries and both technical areas. This specific question for Peru, do proposals need to focus on the 21 value chains, or can they focus in other value chains? So the objective is to review the 21 value chains that have already been identified. We already conducted an economic, social, and environmental analysis. And these chains, out of these 21 chains, we have prioritized three chains. Those are the ones that we want to focus on because these are the ones with the highest potential, given consolidated markets. If other options are submitted, we would need to look into it, but we are not prioritizing agroforestry systems. We are not working with coffee. We're not working with cacao. Other options could be evaluated, but our suggestion is to prioritize the three focus value chains that have been previously identified. Regarding the stakeholder list in Peru, is this a closed list or can we identify additional stakeholders we can engage with? And the answer is that these stakeholders are suggestions. We are open to other alternatives, to other proposals, and other examples. Other stakeholders are certainly an option. So, yeah, these are just a suggested list of stakeholders. It's not a set, exclusive list. These are the doubts that we select with the team. We will compile all of the other questions, address them, and share them with interested parties over email or through the website. Now, a quick summary of remaining next steps. This presentation is going to be published in our webpage. You will also be able to see the recording of the presentation. The call for proposals was open on June 12th, and we will be receiving expressions of interest until July 3rd. We encourage you to review the application process. All of the information is available on the website. We will share a survey with participants in this webinar to include your feedback on the market engagement event. So we will be sharing that shortly. And lastly, if you have any technical project, pro sorry, any technical issues or registering in the applicant portal, Please send these questions to the Amazon Fund, allukpack.co.uk email. Thank you to all the participants for joining us today. We are looking forward to receiving your EOIs and any additional questions by the deadlines that have been established. And we are looking forward to your participation and your submissions. Thanks so much, and we hope you have a great day.